We do it every single Thursday at this time, brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame. Lance McCullers on the show, so we go right now to the Buyer's Barricades hotline. Lance, Mike, and Seth. Paul is the morning off. Good morning. How are you?
What's up? What's up?
Lance, let me start with this. I know you guys, obviously, breaking news, play a ton of baseball games, but last night felt like it was a pretty big win considering all the circumstances.
No, man, it was just nice to, you know, just win at home. I think that we had a couple games in the Rangers series we could have possibly taken, and then obviously Seattle, we had a couple games where we got handled pretty well, but some where we were at least close or up late in the games, and then you face a Rockies team that, you know, they're fighting for their life too. They're right in the race for the NL West. So, I mean, they're extremely good, and we're glad we won.
What was that bark for? Was that a I want to go outside bark?
No, actually, I'm sitting outside, but my other dog was coming downstairs, so that was I want to play fun.
Oh, all right. That sounded like a happy bark.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it didn't sound like an angry bark.
I know it's a little different from your standpoint, maybe, because obviously you're a starting pitcher, so it's every fifth day. But when a team is going through a situation that's not ideal, where you have this losing streak, how challenging is it to not bring the previous night or a losing streak into a game like last night or into the next game? How tough is that from your standpoint?
Well, I mean that's what kind of builds the streak, right? you keep bringing in the pressures to constantly win every single night, and you start chasing the scoreboard. So usually, you know, Oakland's chasing us, and Seattle, but they're the closest team to us right now, and it's just kind of one of those things, man, where we control our destiny. But we feel good about where we are. We know we just play some better baseball.
This is what I worry about with baseball sometimes, is that you guys are really good about being disciplined and waiting and taking your time to come back. I would imagine that discipline is tested when you're getting towards the end of August and the division race is getting really, really tight. Do you have to kind of fight yourself psychologically to say, like, all right, I know the team needs me, but I got to really be sure my forearm is right or my knee is right or whatever is right before I come back?
It's just I've told myself over and over again when I've had these, you know, these injuries over the last couple seasons, whether how big or minor they are, that I'm definitely going to wait for it to be 100%. I'm definitely going to, you know, make sure that I'm my best self before I come back. And I always find myself, you know, rushing myself back. I always find myself letting the game kind of dictate you know my decisions, because I really do want to help the team, and that's the only thing I'm really here for. It's the only thing I care for, you know, really care about. But when you're speaking about that, especially when the race is tight, you don't want to come back and not be able to provide that same quality of play that the team's used to. Because if you come back and from a knee or from a finger or a quad or a forearm, and you're, you know, implemented into that lineup and you're taking the ball against Seattle and they're two games behind you, or you're taking the ball against Oakland, they're one game behind you, and you're a fraction of yourself, that's really not helping anyone. It's actually hurting. It's actually, you're doing the exact opposite of what you set out to do, which was to help the team in the first place. You end up by just hurting them. And I kind of learned that last year a little bit when I came back from my back, and it was still really, really bad. But I kept pitching through it, thinking, you know, that it would come around, or me being out there was, you know, was better than the next option. But really, all I was doing was hurting myself further, and definitely hurting the team by giving them poor innings.
Lance McCullers, our guest, brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame every single Thursday at 8:20. Lance, I really want to get your take on what happened last night. This is what everybody's talking about seemingly this morning. I kept saying this morning Brewers Braves for some reason, but it's the Marlins and the Braves last night. For people who don't know, Ronald Acuña is a bright young star. If you don't know his name, you will in the next couple of years, especially the next 5 to 10 years. He came into last night's game with 3 straight games of hitting a leadoff home run, 5 straight games with a home run, and a guy named Juan Urania basically hits him right on the elbow, 97-mile-an-hour fastball. People are very upset this morning. Freddie Freeman said it was a gutless move. What was your perspective, your thought on what happened last night?
You know, I never want to assume someone threw somebody on purpose for being successful. But that's what it seemed like. I mean, that's what it looked like on the video. I, it's it's a tiring move. That there's no need for that. You're talking about a young star in the game, and Urania can throw the ball, man. We faced Urania last year in Miami. He had a very good year last year. He was the opening starter for the Marlins this year. So, we face similar issues sometimes when we feel like guys may go after George because of how much he swings or how successful he is on first pitches and maybe some home runs spread in here and there. So it's one of those things where it's unacceptable for me. I think that Don Mattingly is a guy in this game that is very, very well respected, and he had a long successful career, and he knows what's right and what's wrong, and I think that they should handle it internally. I don't know if the MLB will suspend him or fine him because there was no warnings and all that stuff, but I would imagine if you get ejected from a game for something at someone, you're going to get some sort of fine and suspension. But there's no need for that. That's weak. It's tired. You can't throw at someone because you can't get them out.
That's one I wondered about that with Don Mattingly as the manager of the Marlins, because it seemed to catch everybody by surprise.
Yeah.
Like both teams.
Yeah, everyone was. I watched the video and everyone was kind of shell shocked. They were like, "What? Like where did that come from? Like why?" That was just something that I wasn't expecting when I saw the video. I saw it right when it happened, actually. On the replay, we had MLB Network on, and they showed the replay. It's just weird. It was just really, really weird. I don't know if something that he thought he was taking it upon himself to send a message, or there's one thing, trying to command the inside part of the plate and the ball getting away and maybe, hitting some guy in the forearm or maybe the jersey or a little bit of the elbow. But the kind of the way he went about it was pretty it seemed like he was trying to send a message that I don't think ever should be sent.
What's
like that.
If somebody were to hypothetically intentionally throw at a player, and nobody ever admits to this, so who knows how often it's intentional and how often it isn't? What's the average velocity on that pitch? Because this is a 97 mile an hour. Do you take would people hypothetically take a little bit off of it? Usually,
no.
It's as hard as you can.
I mean, if you're going to take that leap and put yourself out there like that, you're going to make sure it counts.
Yeah.
So
that's, you don't want to waste
the velo usually is going to be some of the best.
Interesting. Lance McCullers, our guest, brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame. The Cubs won with a walk-off grand slam on Sunday, and I forget the guy's name, Body or something like that, but the guy had a grand slam and he had an epic bat flip. As a starting pitcher, does a bat flip bother you? What's your take on bat flips?
My take on bat flips is walk-offs are fair game. That's something that is above and beyond the norm.
Yeah.
I think, especially one that, is pretty intense, but I know he apologized for it. He's got caught up in the moment. And that's the thing. People make you feel really, really bad for it. So when you do it, I don't think many people think it's a big deal and people draw attention to it. And then maybe you feel bad about it or whatever the case is, but I don't know. Bat flips are kind of whatever, man. They've been happening for quite a while now. I think that's been a big misconception that they never happened before, like this 2015 Statcast era. I mean, there's videos of all the home runs and all these guys hitting home runs back from the 90s and early 2000s, and bats are flying everywhere. So I think it's just one of the things that is in the game now, and it's not a huge deal.
Lance, you played catch the other day in terms of your rehab. How'd you feel?
Good. I played catch this Thursday. I played catch yesterday and the day before.
Okay.
So feeling good, happy with the way that I progressed, happy with the way my body responded. Like I said, it's kind of one of those things where it is very much day-to-day just because of the nature of what we're dealing with. Usually doesn't have like a very specific time frame. Sometimes can be short, sometimes can be longer, but the fact that I'm playing catch and now feeling good doing that is a really positive thing.
Lance, are you aware of what your current strikeout rate is per nine innings?
It's like 9.9, right?
Yeah, it's 9.9.
Wow.
Does 10 hold a certain value to you, or do you try to stay away from all that?
No, I think I know I had 10 and 16, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
I had 10 per 9 and 16. I don't know what I had last year. It may have been close to 10 or maybe right above 10. But I just need my strikeout stuff because my walks per strikeout is not so hot. So I need to keep – the strikeout rate needs to keep rising, and my walk rate needs to stay where it's at so I can keep separating those a little bit.
I can text you an update, like, between innings if you like, if you want to check that, or I'll just tweet them to you. You can respond on Twitter.
Yeah, well, I'm all over my phone between innings. I'm definitely on Twitter, Instagram, so you can just tweet it out. I'll see it.
I will do this in this next game. I'm going to text you things between innings and then get offended when you don't respond so that after the game you have a nice little story waiting for you.
That's perfect. Actually, my grandfather does that. He texts me recasts of every single inning.
Oh, really?
And then text me a recap of the whole game at the very end.
Oh, that's cool.
And he knows I don't read them, but it's just something that he does to kind of calm the nerves and keep himself busy during the game.
You know, you should tweet a screenshot of those out sometime, like when he has a really good one.
When he has a good one?
Yeah, I like your grandpa.
Yeah, okay. I'll start going through them and seeing what we got. Maybe people won't believe me, but that's also what my players' weekend jersey is. It's Perdomo. It's his last name. Many people don't know I'm half Cuban, so he's a big reason for why I've been able to achieve a lot. So he's kind of a little thank you to him with the name on the back of the jersey for Players Weekend. A lot of people keep asking me on Twitter and Instagram and stuff what my nickname is. So that's what it's for.
Yeah, it's funny when I hear you talk about your grandpa. It sounds a lot like the relationship a lot of players have with their dads. It's like you get to have that relationship with both your dad and your grandpa when it comes to baseball, don't you?
Yeah, it's cool because my grandfather is probably like one of the biggest baseball fans that that I know. He comes from a time where you wake up in the morning and you run down to the local coffee shop, you get the paper, and all of the people that came from Tampa, all their stats from the night before are listed in the paper, and you kind of talk and drink Cuban coffee and talk about the game, and then they would go play at the park, so you'll go play baseball. So he comes from baseball is very, very deep meaning for him. And then, like you said, my dad obviously has been tremendous for me and played in the big league. So I definitely got to have unique relationship with both of them, and it's pretty cool to have that.
Lance, two more quick ones from me. I forgot this from last year. Did you also have Perdomo last year, or was this year the first time you're using it?
No, last year I had Snapdragon 1 and Colin McHugh with Snapdragon 2. but this year we mixed it. Someone's name that he met, a little kid that is battling, is fighting for his life. So
okay.
He's honoring him. If it's still what he was originally planning on, I'm not 100% sure. And then I think mine too, for Domo.
And last thing from me, are you going on the road trip or are you staying here for rehab?
I am. I'm going on the road trip. Got to be with the boys. I was glad AJ, said, wanted me to bring me on the road, keep the team together. A lot of the guys are out in rehab right now. And Mac, Devo, those guys are out, and then we got Altuve hitting the cage, Springer, and all those boys. So we're gonna have all the Astros back here hopefully pretty soon.
Lance, we will chat next week. Thank you.
All right, guys. See you.
Lance McCullers, brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame, every single Thursday on the Buyers Barricades Hotline. So he was not a fan of what this Urania did to Acuna last night.
I'm fascinated. Somebody text me, 713-572-4610 on the DWIAttorney.com text line. There's got to be a really good article or a book where some pitcher dishes exactly on, like, on when you decide to plunk somebody. Like, when exactly, give me some old retired play that really lays it out for everybody.
I usually, again, my take on that is I think it's ridiculous when they do it just because the guy's playing well.
It's got to be some perceived slight or whatever. Yeah.
Let's pay this off. What was the guy angry about at Texans training camp that he came up to Mark Vandermeer?
No, I'm sorry. That was a dirty lowdown tease by me because it turns out that Vandy texted me back and said, I have no clue. There's so much to choose from when it comes to people. Do I make people angry a lot?
I mean, not.
I mean, we've already established that I've created many enemies in this town.
Yeah.
And I used to be well liked, and now, like within the industry, it seems I'm despised. Like everybody's nice to my face, and I find out that it turns out I'm despised.
That's the weird thing about this business is that nobody actually says anything like to you in person.
Yeah,
I mean, you particularly because you're like 6'4", 2", whatever.
Yeah, but I'm not a jerk or anything.
You're not. No.
Yeah, I'm. So I don't know. I guess maybe. Do I make the listeners angry a lot? I don't feel like I particularly make the listeners angry a lot.
I wouldn't think so.
It's just, I mean, just the stupid ones, I'm sure.
We have Mad Takes.
Some guy came
on
up
the
to
way.
Me once, and he was like, cool about it. He was like, I'll tell you what, Seth, I really disagree with you a lot. I'm like, well, you're obviously not that intelligent. Like, honestly, he's like, he said.
I respect that,
he
though.
He said, oh, no, I respect that he was telling me, and he was cool about it. He's like, I like you, but, like, I disagree with you almost all the time. I'm like, well, you can't disagree with me all the time. Like, there's no way you can't possibly disagree with me all the time, because 90% of what I say is, frankly, pretty cliche stuff.